We leave the dock in Woods Hole on a 35-foot lobster boat and push off into the calm waters of Buzzards Bay. An overcast dawn has made way for blue skies and stunning visibility.
Seals out there on those rocks.
It's my first time on this hour-long trip, but for the staff of Penikese Island Treatment Program, this is their commute. Clinical Director Coco Wellington, a rugged, straight-talking woman, says it never gets old.
That's the island. I'm in love with that island. It's so starkly beautiful.
Don't worry about that. Once we're into the dock, you guys can step off and I'll get the rest.
As we pull in, three young men walk down a hill from an 1840s-style farmhouse to help bring up groceries and prescription medicine from the mainland.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Coco.
Hi, how are you?
Doing excellent. How are you?
I'm well. Did you get your razor?
Yes,
I did.
Not long ago, these men were in jail, and before that, using or selling heroin. All three asked to be identified by first name only, Kevin, Tracy, and Brett. None of them have been here longer than a week.
How'd you guys sleep last night?
Like I was in hibernation.
As we walk up the hill, a few small buildings and wood piles dot the landscape, but mostly it's barren grassland with sandy inlets and wind-swept shrubbery. We walk into the main house to put away the food shipment.
What else needs to be not done next?
You just want to throw one of the halves and one of the milks in the fridge.
This 75-acre island has an exotic history. The Wampanoag Indians lived here until the English arrived. A few centuries later, it housed a marine laboratory. In the early 1900s, the state of Massachusetts bought Penikese for a leper colony, its isolation ideal to hide away that era's medical pariahs. Oceanographer Jim Newman has long helped manage the island.
When the leper colony closed, they burned all the buildings. Not clear that anybody wanted it for a while there.
The island stood virtually empty until the 1970s, when a former Marine opened a school and boot camp for troubled boys. But after 40 years, enrollment declined and the school closed. That was 2011, just as the opioid epidemic in New England was taking hold. The board that oversees Penikese looked for an agency to turn it into an addiction treatment program for young men. They eventually found the Children's Study Home, a social service agency based in Springfield. They brought their first patient out to the island in August.
A backgammon is if he gets one of his guys off before I get in my home.
Penikese is billed as a recreation of 19th century life. The only electricity is solar powered, just enough for the staff to charge their phones, run the fridge, and keep one laptop functional. There is Wi-Fi and a landline, but no TV, no iPods, no electric light.
So if I get a one, I can get you out.
Tracy is a 24-year-old New York City native who used to go to clubs every night. Now he passes the morning learning how to play backgammon from the nurse.
Number one.
Yep.
Put myself there, right?
Yep. Okay, double ones. Yeehaw.
The men went through detox before coming to the island. This is the therapeutic stage. They've been screened for suicidal and violent histories. The treatment philosophy revolves around delayed gratification. Any delivery is a day away. And the island itself is a therapeutic partner.
Penikese Island has one attribute that very few other places have, and that is isolation.
Weston Lant is island caretaker, a former rock band roadie turned organic farmer. He says the addiction program here is unlike even the best urban clinic, where in a moment of weakness...
You could walk out the door and drop a dime and get what you need, or what you think you need. Here, that's off the table, and that's as much a security issue as it is security for them. It's freedom. It's like, you don't have to think about it. It's not going to happen here. So now you get to think about everything else. Now you can focus.
But these men didn't exactly seek out the place for its therapeutic qualities. All had been convicted on drug charges and given the choice of incarceration or treatment.
It was like, this place got me in quicker. It was like, you can go here in 2 days or you can wait in jail for another month and a half, 2 months to get somewhere else.
20-year-old Kevin is the quietest of the three patients. For part of the day, he sits alone on the front porch, looking out at the bay and sometimes at his own feet. He's still adjusting.
So, like, I came from jail, so, I mean, everything's, like, loud and everyone's just crazy. And then you come here and it's just, like, dead silent all the time.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, it's just shocking. More time to, like, think. You just sit there thinking.
Holy God, what is that flying around up there? Is that a hornet's nest? There's too many of them flying around up there.
Get it. There's a
Brett is 26. He's already tried and failed at a more institutional rehab. He says he's open to the island's healing properties, but still getting used to kerosene lanterns, going to bed at 9, cooking on a cast iron stove.
You know, you got to heat the stove by burning the wood multiple hours before you're trying to cook.
Not only that, but they have to chop the wood themselves.
You want to be back far enough from your cutting surface. So
this is their first day of training on using an axe.
You want to eat? You got to cut wood.
Looks like I'm going to starve.
This is also part of the treatment curriculum, physical exertion with a meditative undercurrent.
Natural mindfulness. If you're not paying attention, you're going to cut your leg off.
Never really known what it meant, though. Mindfulness.
The confinement is more in your mind.
Staff member Weston Lant.
In other words, you're not in a rehab center. You're on an island, and you're not locked away while everybody else is conducting their life. You're conducting your life here.
There's room on the island for 12 patients, but the agency hasn't been able to hire enough staff for a full house. It's been hard to find and keep people willing to commute an hour by powerboat and leave their home for three-day shifts. The remaining therapists work to create a sense of family with the patients, the kind born of mutual dependency.
There's some rolls, you can pull out some bread.
Everyone cooks, eats, and cleans together. And as they do, therapy happens incidentally. Tracy hovers over a charcoal grill, having just finished a Skype meeting upstairs with an off-site psychiatrist.
He did. He's like, you got PTSD. I'm like, I do.
How'd it go?
Made me feel like I was crazy.
As the burgers cook, he tells counselor Nick Belomo that the doctor wants him to go on a new psychiatric medication.
You said do some research on him?
I mean, that would be my suggestion.
But how can you do that much if you think about it when you can't?
Google is amazing for a lot of things.
Okay, well, we're on an island where we cannot have electronics.
That seems like a fair point, though Belomo offers to print the information on his day off. Tracy shrugs and asks Brett to take over the grill.
I just burnt all the hair off my knuckles.
I'll grab him.
Grab me a pair of tongs.
Judging from the good moods and mild weather, this seems like an ideal day on the island. But as the days get shorter, Brett expects life will get harder.
Well, it's going to get cold here real soon, and the winters aren't very fun on Cape, so can't imagine being on an island that's not very big. You know, snow, the wind, there's nothing to block any of the wind out.
And at one point, Brett whispers into my microphone the audio equivalent of a message in a bottle.
Take me back.
Help.
He's joking, of course, or half joking. But ultimately, Wellington, the clinical director, says how the men react to the island's challenges over time will let staff know when they're ready to leave. It could be 30 days, 90 days, or longer.
Are they going to turn to staff and ask for help? That tells you something. Or are they just going to dissolve into a bundle, you know? Or are they going to run away? All of those things tell us how they manage stress.
The last official activity of the day is group therapy in the island's one-room schoolhouse. Wellington starts the session with a Tibetan bowl ringing and moves into a mindfulness exercise with M&Ms.
I want you to put it in your mouth, but do not chew it. Just feel it with your tongue. Feel the taste, the texture.
She then leads them into talking about addiction.
Right. What are the triggers? What are the triggers? And how do you react to them?
I don't know. I get what you're saying, where it could be like a buildup, though, because sometimes, like...
And then it's their turn to weigh in on the rules of the island. Brett goes first.
Go ahead.
Why are there no MP3 players or love? Like the ones that have no screens?
We want people to unplug. We don't want them to be
tuned out.
That's really important in this whole process.
Wellington adds they don't have enough electricity to keep devices charged. And anyway, no one in the 1800s had MP3 players. But the men aren't buying it.
It's like the whole quitting every substance, all the alcohol, cigarettes, everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
Just dropping your whole life and coming to the island.
It's the same thing with, like, you know, TV, you know, cell phones. Getting to make a phone call, but being told you can only call once every however often. I don't know, that's very difficult for me to just... Same thing with not being able to listen to music, not being able to keep you know, tabs on my favorite football team.
The counselors decide one rule they can relax is supervision. Patients are free to roam the island alone. they can check out a bird sanctuary for Arctic terns on the other side of the island, or visit the leper graveyard from the 1920s. Tracy admits he's already been exploring the shore.
Me, this morning, I was just lost in my own head real quick. That's why I was starting to walk out on the basketball court, and then the next thing I noticed, I was at the dock. I'm like, oh.
These guys will settle into island life and start to face their demons, Wellington tells me later. It just takes time, something they have here in great supply. For now, they're still getting to know each other, a task made easier by their low-tech entertainment options. For the program to work, the children's study home has some challenges ahead. According to the director, treatment costs $500 per day per client. They're not yet licensed to take insurance, and they don't want it to become a country club clinic for the rich, so right now it's mostly funded by donations. Sadly, they don't expect the demand for opioid treatment to drop off anytime soon. If this approach succeeds, they hope to be a model for the rest of the country, at least wherever there's a free island.
Who's this? Stop showing me up!
For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Karen Brown.
Ooh, you all right? I guess you got a little underspin there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You learned that from me.